Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Whisker Report. We are the podcast dedicated to helping anyone in the pet industry, whether you're an animal welfare nonprofit or a for-profit pet company or a pet service company looking to get some PR and buzz for your business, organization, or nonprofit. I'm Mary Tan, one of the hosts of the show, along with Alexandre Ricard, who hails all the way from France, but she travels the world. She's like a resident of the universe. So I think I want to say buongiorno, Alex.
Buongiorno, I guess, yeah. I'm in Italy right now. So yeah, definitely a citizen of the world. We're so excited about the show today. And if you've always wanted to know how you can start selling on Amazon, well, we do have an expert with us today. But first, let me introduce you to our producer, Mark Winter of Pet Life Radio, the man who gets us to you each and every week. Hi, Mark.
Buongiorno, Alex. How's everybody doing?
I'm good.
Super Zoo was crazy, wasn't it, Alex?
We're still recovering.
You have to tell me all about it. I haven't heard anything from you guys yet.
It was amazing, wasn't it, Alex?
No, it was really great. We met like really good people. We made great connection and it was nice. It was very intense, but I did like it better than last year. I think the more I'm going, the more I'm going to like it and appreciate it.
Cool. Yeah. So we both met Aaron at Super Zoo, which was last week, depending on when you listen to this. So, Alex, aren't you impressed with Aaron and Steven, Gary, and what they do?
Oh, I love them. And I love the fact that they're also citizens of the world. So just to tell you a little bit of the background, guys, we met Aaron and Steven through Pet Industry Network, which is a group of marketing creatives in the pet industry. And we help, you know, others in the pet industry to thrive. So yeah, Aaron and Steven have a company called Acceleration. And Aaron, you were just in Portugal last week, right before Super Zoo, right? So where are you talking to us from today?
Yeah, thank you guys for having me on today. Yeah, that's correct. We are also full-time travelers, so kindred souls with Alex over there. And we spent the summer in Madeira, Portugal, which was just a beautiful island. Highly recommend it. And then we had, you know, something I would recommend less, which was a 25-hour travel day straight from Madeira to Las Vegas for Super Zoo, but then Super Zoo was super fun. We're glad to have been able to go. And now I'm actually chiming in from Connecticut, which is where I grew up. We're visiting family for a couple weeks because we've got a wedding in New England. So that's where I am today.
And can you tell us a bit more about your company, Acceleration? How did it start? Like, where did the idea come from? What are you guys exactly doing?
Yeah, absolutely. So my husband, Steven, and I co-founded Acceleration, which actually started last year in 2023. But prior to that, we had both worked at a full-scale digital marketing agency. My husband, Steven, had been there for almost a decade, and I had been there for 5 years. We did everything for clients in terms of e-commerce. So we would help them build their websites. We would help them do their Google shopping advertising, their social media, their email marketing, and we'd also help them run their Amazon business. And my husband and I kind of decided that trying to be all things for all people left a little bit to be desired. We were heading the Amazon department, but we kept getting pulled on to kind of other sides of the business. And we felt like we really needed to niche down in order to do a really good job for our clients on Amazon, which is its own ecosystem and a giant beast by itself. So we spun off into just an Amazon-only pet-focused business, and that's been going really great. We launched October 1st last year, and coming up on a year now, it's been a wild ride.
Yeah, I just want to bring this up in terms of niching. So your business, like Whisker Media, is very niched. We all only do the pet industry, and that's all we do. And, you know, I heard a lot of negative feedback when we started Whisker Media, like, oh, you can't just survive on the pet industry. And that is so wrong. Wouldn't you agree, Erin? Like, the pet industry is an amazing, growing, a lot of times they say recession-proof industry.
Yeah. I mean, especially in America, pets are part of your family, right? So there's so many things that we do for them as for parents. And I think there's a lot of industry that's been built up around it. And like you said, you know, there is this line that it's recession-proof because they're members of the family. And, you know, you might not be going on vacation or traveling to Italy or Portugal, but you're going to be home and your dog or your cat or, your, you know, whatever pet you have is there with you. And you might be spending more time at home because you have less money to go out to dinner. But you're still going to spend money on them because they're there. They're constant. You know, they're your companion. Yeah. So we actually do work with a couple brands outside of pet, but we are very preferential to pet because on Amazon specifically, there's certain categories on the platform and the data that's required and the rules and regulations that Amazon has for products and sellers varies greatly from category to category. So we just know that pet category so well that we really, really, I mean, 90% of our clients are in that category because kind of trying to learn another category is a huge learning curve. So that's where we like to stay for sure.
So there's so many products on Amazon, even for pets, you know, there's so many like cat tree, for example. How do you choose the cat tree? Because there's so many cat trees. So how, when you have your clients, how do you make them stand out on Amazon? What is like your marketing strategy or your strategy to make them stand out compared to their competitors?
Yeah, that's a really great question, Alex. And we can kind of, I wanted to kind of dive into the nuts and bolts of how Amazon works and how PR could really play a great part in that. But it is, like you said, really hard to kind of stand out from the noise because everyone and their mom is a seller on Amazon, right? There's so many products. So the key is really knowing how the platform works and being able to take advantage of the search algorithm and exactly what it is doing when a customer types in, you know, dog, chew toy. How do you get your customer's client, or I'm sorry, your client's products to show up in those search results? It's a bit of a game, right? Like we have to make sure that their titles and their bullet points, all of that content is really optimized for keywords. And when we onboard a client, we spend probably a month doing this deep dive analysis, and we try and focus on three keys. So we try to find the keywords that are related to their product that we can rank for on Amazon so that when customers are searching for them, we show up. And then we try and like do a deep analysis of the market. So, you know, if you said cat treats, like we go and we look at a whole bunch of Amazon competitors that sell cat treats and what are they doing? What are they doing well? Let's make sure that we're hitting everything that our competitors are doing. And then we really do a lot of meetings with our clients and kind of learn about their specific product and what are their key product differentiators and how can we communicate that to potential shoppers on Amazon? Like, why our cat treat? Like, what sets us apart? What are we doing as a brand or what have we designed in the product that makes us the one you want to buy over everyone else? So that is kind of our secret sauce, is our three keys.
So let me ask you, is it possible? So when I search Amazon, a lot of times like the big companies come up and like as a small to mid-range pet company, how do you beat that? Is it completely SEO, which is search engine optimization and keywords? Is that really the golden ticket?
Yeah, that's definitely an important part of it. So this is actually a really good segue if you guys wouldn't mind kind of letting me maybe dive into how the search engine on Amazon works.
Absolutely.
Okay, awesome. I know it's a podcast about PR, but like I feel like in order to explain how important publicity and buzz really is when it comes to making Amazon sales, I think I'd like to explain a little bit about how it works.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool. In the interest of time, I'm going to try and kind of gloss over some things and not get too technical. You know, we just kind of need like a high level understanding to give listeners some context into why PR can be a really powerful tool. So let's see. First off, Amazon is a product search engine. And, you know, I'm sure most of us have used Amazon as shoppers. So let's kind of start with what we know. Imagine you go to Amazon and in the search bar, you enter dog chew toy. You know, a page of search results then gets populated. And this page usually has like a big headline image followed by rows and rows of products. And at some point while you're scrolling down the page, you know, you might encounter a video. And then there are more rows and rows of products. If you're super detail oriented or you know, maybe you have eyes like a hawk, you might notice that a fair number of these results have this teeny tiny gray text below the image that says sponsored. So this means more or less, again, not getting too technical here, that these results were populated based on sellers who were advertising on the search term dog chew toy that you entered as the shopper. So Amazon kind of picks which ads end up on a search result page based on a couple factors, but again, not to get too technical, it's mostly based on how much a seller is bidding in their advertisement to get placed on that search result page. So in my example, you know, I said the headline is there, there's a first row of products, and then there's a video further down the page. Most of those are usually ads. They have that little sponsored text on them. And you'll usually see like maybe another row or two of products that are also sponsored throughout that page. The rest of the products that end up on the search results page are what is called organic placements. So these products, the sellers that sell them may not have been running advertising, but their products still show up on the Amazon search results page because Amazon thought it was a good fit for what the customer was searching. And Amazon picks to show these organic results based on a number of things, but it boils down to two things really: how relevant the product is to the customer's search query, and how likely it is that the product will sell, right? Because Amazon, they just want to sell you stuff. So to do this, the algorithm in Amazon looks at the content on a product's detail page to see how relevant it is to the search that the customer entered. And there's also some back-end metadata that as a seller, you can put in there to further inform the algorithm of like what exactly your product is to get it in front of the right people. But that's only kind of half, maybe not even half of the equation for Amazon's algorithm. The other half is historic sales volume and the conversion rate of a product and other things like ratings and reviews and so on. Because Amazon really wants to know like, hey, if I put this in front of a customer, how likely is it that they're going to buy it? So Mary, this is probably why you see a lot of big brands pop up, because they have that historic sales volume that Amazon is like, I know that this is likely to sell, so I'm going to put it in the search results page.
So it's like they're buying an ad on Amazon. They have to pay extra, right? Is that what you're saying? To be seen in the sponsored section.
Yes, to be seen in the sponsored section. Well, I should say this. To show up in the sponsored section, it's called a bid auction. So any of those placements that have sponsored on them in the search result page, that means that when a search was entered into Amazon, like dog chew toy, everyone, big brands, little brands, resellers, they like raise their little paddle in the auction. And they're like, this is how much I'm willing to bid to show, I say this loosely, because Amazon will be like, okay, you bid, you know, $2 to show up here. And then let's just say a big brand bid $2.10. So the big brand's going to win. They won't get charged $2.10. Amazon will put it at like $2.01 because that's all it took to beat out the next highest bidder. And then the big brand will only be charged that amount if someone clicks on the ad. So you're not even bidding really to show up. I mean, you have to bid to show up, but you only pay if a customer clicks on the ad. But yeah, these bigger brands who have a lot more advertising dollars and bigger marketing budgets, they can definitely kind of rule those sponsored sections, which is why it's really important to make sure that your product listing is super optimized so that you can kind of snag some of those organic spots. Or, you know, as an agency, we like to tell smaller brands or newer brands, like it's going to take some investment in advertising to kind of help get the ball rolling, because you don't need to continually invest in advertising, because half of the organic reason that Amazon will show you is if you have historic sales. So, you know, if you invest in a bunch of advertising and you get a ton of sales, kind of back off, because then you will have moved up the organic ranking enough that Amazon might show you without you having to pay. And then you just keep making sales. And it's kind of like this snowball effect.
Got it.
Yeah. But so all of this is like kicked off when a shopper enters a search into that Amazon search bar, right? So to kind of circle back and bring it back to PR, because that's what people listening to the podcast really want to know about. If you're a shopper on Amazon, you know, you at least have to have a general idea of what you want to buy when you enter something onto Amazon, right? So Amazon sellers are bidding on keywords that they think shoppers will search for that are specific to their products. And Amazon is also showing organic results of products that are relevant to customer searches. So it's such a search-focused platform that customer education for market building or garnering awareness for a new brand is hard to do on Amazon. To have a lot of people searching for your brand on Amazon or searching for your super new, unique product, they need to already know about your brand or your product. And this is where PR is super helpful for a brand's likelihood of being successful on Amazon. Because the magic of what you guys do, Mary and Alex, is you can help a brand, like a new brand, or even a brand that's starting to see a plateau, kind of get its name back out there, or, you know, help educate people on why they need this brand new, unique product that solves a need that no other product on the market is currently addressing. Because Amazon is not a research tool, right? People are searching to buy things. So you guys, we love partnering with you guys to help our new brands or to help our unique products kind of get their name out there so that they have a better shot on Amazon.
Well, we love working with you too. And what fascinating information, all of us that just search Amazon, put in a few keywords, we had no idea about all the background in it. You know what? We have to take a break because we got to pay for the show because Mark makes a ton of money. He's a millionaire. And so we're going to be right back with Aaron, who's going to talk a little bit more about PR and Amazon sales.
Here's Daryl Michelson, owner of Purniture Cat Furniture.
Most cat furniture hardly passes as a plant stand. The big difference between our furniture and other cat furniture is the fact that we use plywood, and we are also using what are called cores, which are half-inch thick tubes. Great cat furniture with the most modern carpets available today.
You can see the Purniture difference online at Purniture.com. That's Purniture.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with Aaron to know a bit more about Amazon. So, Aaron, a question. So you said that, you know, PR is really useful for you guys because we get the word out about a new product or a new brand and then people can search for it on Amazon. But I know that, you know, smaller business can be a bit wary on Amazon. They don't know if they should sell on Amazon or if not, especially when their strategy is to sell in brick and mortar stores. So I was just wondering, what are your tips on that? Do you think this, like, what are the benefits on selling on Amazon when you're a new business? You know, some tips.
Yeah, that is a wonderful question, Alex. So generally, our response to this question, and we get it a lot, is that unfortunately, not being on Amazon doesn't solve the problem. So Amazon is a marketplace. It's not restricted to the brand owner or the manufacturer. So anyone can sell almost any product on Amazon. So if you're a brand that's like, we don't want to sell on Amazon, we don't want to, you know, make our retail partners angry, or we just think it's a kind of a hassle, or whatever the reason may be. I know a lot of people who have big distribution networks, their biggest reason is price, right? We don't want our products to be on Amazon and it be a lower price than customers can get it in store, because that's just, it's not good for the brick and mortar stores. Unfortunately, because anyone can sell anything on Amazon, they might just order a pallet of your products from a distributor and put them on Amazon as a reseller. And then you don't have any control over the price. So our general response to questions like this is the best offense is a good defense. So even if you don't really want to be on Amazon, the best way to resolve a lot of the pain points around Amazon is to lean into it. And I've always said to brands, like, hey, you can sign up for Amazon. You can try your best to protect your products from being sold by anyone else. You don't even have to settle your whole catalog on Amazon. You can maybe keep some SKUs that are, you know, let's see, exclusive to retail stores. But this way, you have a presence on Amazon, and you know if other people start selling the product, you can see, like, oh, someone's picked up a bunch of inventory here or there, figure out what distributor they got it from, start enforcing like MAP policies and ask your distributors not to sell it to Amazon or sell it to sellers who are going to end up on Amazon. It just ends up being almost a bigger mess if a brand or manufacturer ignores Amazon, because the pain points almost get worse when you're not the one selling it, right? Because you're going to honor your MAP agreements and you're going to put the effort into making your brand presence the way you want it to be on Amazon. But a reseller is not going to do that. And unfortunately, by not being on Amazon, you're opening up the possibility for someone else to control your brand presence and pricing on the platform.
Wow. So I hear so many complaints that the margins are so thin. This is kind of getting away from PR, but it's really, really critical. So Amazon controls the pricing is what you're telling us. Is that correct?
Well, it depends. So if you are selling your product directly to Amazon Vendor Central, they do have a bit more control over the pricing than you. If you're selling it as a seller, like if you're the manufacturer brand and you're selling it, so let's say it's Joe's Pet Shop. Joe's Pet Shop is selling it and they can fulfill it using Amazon warehouses or they can fulfill it themselves, but then you are in charge of the price. My other example earlier was that if Joe's Pet Shop is not selling it and, like, you know, my mom buys a bunch of Joe's products and she puts it on Amazon, as the seller, she decides what the price is. So you have lost that control by not being the seller yourself. So yeah, Mary, it's definitely, margins is a big topic on Amazon. There's a lot of fees. There's just a 15% fee of the product for being on Amazon. It's like the platform fee for being there because they brought the customers, right? That's their just flat fee. And then there's a whole bunch of fees if you use their fulfillment services. Yeah, if Amazon is going to be a part of your distribution strategy, you definitely need to price it in, because unfortunately, Amazon is also very picky about the price. So if you are selling it on your website for less than you're selling it on Amazon, Amazon will take your listing down. They'll say, no, until you match the price you have on your website or Chewy has on their website, you can't sell us on our platform. So you definitely have to be really cognizant of it. Just like your 2 or 3 step distribution plan, you'd have to build in your margin to fit that. You kind of have to think that through with Amazon as well.
Wow. This is why, you know, you need to hire Stephen and Aaron, because, like,
there's so much to know.
So much to learn. I have another question about, is Amazon mean to its businesses?
I'm going to sidestep that question and answer it with, they are very nice to their customers, right? Amazon loves their shoppers, so they're very customer-centric. Returns, sure, no problem. You broke it, send it back, full refund, right? So yeah, it can be tough as a seller on the platform because Amazon's focus is 100% on the customer experience and less so on your experience selling, which is why it's a really hard platform to navigate. And a lot of people who know they need to be on Amazon sell to Vendor Central, which is Amazon's first party arm. So they buy your inventory, they store it in their warehouses, they fulfill everything, they take all the returns, they handle all the customer service. It's almost like you ship it off to another distributor and your hands are clean. The one problem is Amazon Vendor Central isn't always the best about honoring MAP, so manufacturer retail price. Oh my gosh, Friday brain can't even remember the acronym. But your pricing agreements, right? They're not the best at honoring those. So if they have a pallet of your inventory that's been sitting in their warehouse and they haven't sold it, they'll just slash the price on Amazon, which obviously makes all of your other partners really angry. Because a customer can sit in a brick and mortar store and say, oh, this is a great product. I'm going to price shop. Look at Amazon and go, it's $10 cheaper. I'm going to buy it there. So that's why we always suggest trying it out maybe yourself first before selling it to vendor, because you lose a little bit of that price control and you also lose some control over your brand presence. There's no easy answer here, guys. It's just what works for our clients in terms of their business goals and how their business models work.
Wow. What about getting more into PR? Alex and Mark, jump in here if you have a question, because I'm really bossy and I talk too much. So I kind of lost my train of thought, but say we get a client, tons of PR, tons of media hits and stuff. Can you put that on your Amazon page?
Yeah. So there are ways, you know, you can throw it into an image gallery that's like got a little graphic that's like as seen on USA Today or in your A+ content section, which is if you scroll down a product detail page, it's a bunch of images and text that give you more detail about a product. Now, those kinds of tools are only available to brand owners or manufacturers, which is why we like to work with them instead of resellers. But in addition to being able to kind of add that as an asset to a product's detail page, when a product gets featured in these popular media outlets or blogs or social media, you guys know it attracts attention. And this buzz can drive more people to search for the product on Amazon because they trust Amazon. There's something like 70% of consumers in the US say that they find Amazon to be really trustworthy. So they're not going to buy a new brand's product from their website if they're like, well, I don't know if I've ever bought from this. I might not get the customer service I want. I might not get the return policy I want. So if you guys are able to generate a bunch of PR buzz, this can drive a lot of people to search for the product on Amazon, which can lead to, you know, a bunch of increase in traffic to a product detail page. And more traffic means more sales and a higher number of like eyeballs on a product detail page increases the likelihood of conversions. And if you guys remember back to when we were talking about how Amazon works, this kind of increase in sales and traffic can really help your product show up more often organically. You know, Amazon picks those organic results based on a big factor of sales and conversions, and that moves your product up the search rank. So the more traffic and sales a product gets, the higher it tends to rank in the Amazon search results. So PR can create this huge surge in both of our traffic and our sales, which not only helps in the short term, because once Amazon knows that you have this historic sales and you have this traffic, this initial boost from PR can really have a lasting impact on a product's position in the search results, which makes it easier for future customers to find too.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, well, you know what? We've still got a few more questions, so we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Ready for the biggest cat celebration in the world? Come to the CFA International Cat Show and Expo in Cleveland, Ohio on October 12th and 13th. The expo is the world's grandest cat celebration, seamlessly blending pedigree cat exhibitions with feline welfare and rescue initiatives. It captivates over 10,000 feline enthusiasts each year, celebrating all cats, whether rescue or pedigreed, in a shared spirit of love and unity. Dive into cat-themed activations and enlightening educational sessions. Marvel at 1,000 non-pedigree and pedigreed cats, adoptable felines, and explore over 100 cat-themed vendors. It's an event dedicated to honoring our beloved felines and their admirers. And guess what feline influencers are coming to meet and greet? YouTube cat video sensation Aaron's Animals, as well as Nathan the Cat Lady, Lambo Leisha, Chupi, and many, many more. Gather your cat crew and do whatever it takes to head to the CFA Cat Expo. It's a whisker-wiggling, tail-twirling extravaganza you won't want to miss. Get your tickets at cfacatexpo.com. That's cfacatexpo.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Pet
and we're back with Erin for a couple more questions before we have to say goodbye. So, Erin, I'm sure you've seen a lot of, you know, small business and even bigger business start selling on Instagram, and I'm sure you've seen a couple of common mistakes. Can you give our listeners just two little tips on what they should be doing when they just start selling on Amazon? Just like two little things to help them start.
Yeah. So I think my biggest suggestion to brand owners and manufacturers is when they start selling on Amazon is to register their brand with Amazon. So if you have a trademark for your brand or some, you know, product terms or patents, you can register that with Amazon. Amazon will not proactively protect your brand and your products. But if you are able to register your trademarks and your patents with Amazon, and you find instances of people using your trademarked terms or ripping off your patented design, you can report them to Amazon. And then Amazon will look at the information that you have previously submitted and say, yep, this breaks your trademark, it breaks your patents, and they will kick those people off of Amazon. So I know one of the biggest complaints by brands and manufacturers is, oh, if I'm on Amazon, then I open myself up to knockoffs. But there is some protection available, and it's just, it's not necessarily something that Amazon, again, proactively does. So that's my biggest, you know, suggestion for people selling is get those things registered so you protect your brand.
Kind of getting a little bit off topic here, but I wanted to ask you about Temu and all these AliExpress and all of those kinds of sellers coming from China. I read, I think, in one of the business newspapers that Temu is just so popular in the U.S. Of course, it's a Chinese company, but is Temu a threat to Amazon?
I think that Amazon is so innovative in the things that they roll out. It's one of the reasons why Stephen and I niched down, because we, as a full-service digital marketing agency, couldn't keep up with all of the changes that they were rolling out. So I think, you know, there's a big enough consumer market in the US to kind of handle multiple platforms like this. So I would say, sure, you know, Temu offers a bit of competition, but I think that's not a bad thing. It might make Amazon better in terms of what it's able to provide its customers, or it might make it better in them focusing more on helping the sellers side of things. But additionally, it's forcing them to innovate. So, you know, we talked about how the search results page is populated, and at this moment, it's all products. But I will tell you, they are beta testing ads for local services. So like if you search for, say, like, I need a hedge trimmer, right? So you get a bunch of product results, but then you might, that top bar that's a big image, in the future, it might be Joe's Lawn Care down the road, that's located in your zip code, your billing zip code, right? So it's forcing Amazon to kind of innovate and change and adapt. And I think in the end, you know, competition is really good for everybody. So I'm excited to see how Amazon responds to it. It certainly encroaches on the market, but I don't see it as like a huge threat.
This is why we all want to be Jeff Bezos. We wish we could have been him.
Yeah.
My goodness. Any other questions, Mark and Alex, to close out the show?
How different is Amazon from Chewy? In the pet world, you know, I would say that would be Amazon's biggest competition.
Yeah, absolutely. It is.
They operate in the same way as far as search and everything else?
Yeah, they are very similar. And I will say, you know, we've never worked directly with Chewy, so I can't give you like specific technical comparisons, but yeah, it is a platform, and like you said, it's just pet, which is obviously different than Amazon, which is everything, but it does very much work just like a marketplace. Tons and tons of different brands and sellers offer their pet products on Chewy. When a customer goes and searches for a dog chew toy, they're getting a bunch of results, some which are sponsored, some which are not. Yeah, it's a very similar situation, so it's definitely something that pet brands and manufacturers in particular need to consider. We work with a lot of clients who are on both, and managing the pricing on both of them is tricky because they acknowledge that, you know, they do similar things. If your price on Chewy for a product is lower than it is on Amazon, Amazon is much quicker to take that listing down than, say, if it's on your website for a little cheaper. So Amazon definitely recognizes that it's a direct competitor to their pet category. But I think you can succeed on both, and you can be on both and just hit different customer segments. So I think it's a good part of a business's strategy to try and be on both marketplaces. And, you know, we don't discourage clients from being on Chewy or PetSmart or Petco.
That is amazing. There's so much more than just putting your product, you know, like writing up a little blurb and that sort of thing. Final question. I have noticed that sometimes I'll compare and I can find it cheaper on walmart.com or Target than Amazon and Chewy. Those are other platforms that are also growing that people should consider as well, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And to Mark's question, you know, is Chewy similar to Amazon? Yes, but it's just pet. Well, Target Plus and Walmart are direct competitors to Amazon because they are doing essentially the same thing. They are marketplaces for any and all products. Target is pretty limited in terms of they don't allow resellers, which is great. They only allow brands and manufacturers. You have to apply to be on the platform. I'm surprised to hear that you say that you've found cheaper options on Target. I think it's just a testament to the necessity of brands and manufacturers to have a really tight control on their supply chain and their distribution chain and have that MAP agreement in place and make sure you are enforcing it. Because the reason that these big marketplaces end up lowering the price or giving customers a coupon is because their algorithms are finding it other places online for cheaper. And so they knock the price down. Or if you have a reseller who has enough margin on Amazon or Walmart, they'll knock the price down. So it's just a really big deal as a brand and manufacturer. If you're interested in being in e-commerce and you're interested in being on these big platforms, is you have to have a pricing strategy. And it needs to be enforceable with all members of your distribution chain.
And speaking for cat rescuers, is Amazon Smile still in existence where you can donate to a nonprofit?
Last that I knew as a shopper on Amazon, it was, but I don't actually know the answer to that question.
Okay. Yeah, I had heard that they had made some big changes on there, and I saw a lot of rescues that I volunteer with have like changed to the other platforms. Like I think most of them go through Chewy, but Amazon Smile, like the neonatal kitten rescues always have like the heat. They need the heaters and the little cuddly things and stuff like that.
Yeah, it definitely used to be a thing. Like as a shopper, I knew I could pick like what Smile organization I wanted to donate to. I haven't seen it in recent shopping excursions. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Full transparency, do not know the answer to that question.
All right.
That's more on the shopper side and less on the seller side.
Well, thank you so much, Erin.
Of course.
We just enjoyed having you. And, you know, the point of this podcast is to really educate people and have great content so that you of course, this show is focused on the pet business owner, but there's so much to learn. And, you know, of course, we want to send people your way. Erin, how can people reach you to learn a little bit more about your services?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys, first off, for having me. You can reach my firm, Acceleration, at theamazonmarketingagency.com. Or you can email me directly at Erin, E-R-I-N, at Acceleration, which is spelled funny, so I will spell it for you. It's A-C-C-E-L-E-R-A-Z-O-N, Erin at Acceleration.com with A-C-C-E-L-E-R-A-Z-O-N.com. Guys, Friday is just after Super Zoo. My brain is an egg, scrambled egg.
Well, that is a wrap for the show. We're so excited to be doing this and bringing on people like Erin. All of us are making life better for animals because, you know, in the end, that is what it's all about. Do you have a question that you want us to answer? Reach out to us on Instagram or Facebook under the Whisker Report. You will chat with Alex, and we're going to try to answer your questions in a future podcast episode. So we're going to say goodbye. And as we always say, bark loud and purr smart. See everybody.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.